Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. My co-host today is Pastor Butch Paul, as we bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. It is Tuesday, December 8th, 2020. Good afternoon, Butch.
Good afternoon, Melody. You're sounding really chipper today.
I am.
Well, that's
good
to hear.
This year is almost over.
Well, let's hope 2021 brings a little more good news in with it. We'll have to wait and see, I reckon. But 2020 certainly has been a different year.
Oh, I think I think 2021 is I think every year
is going to become
more and more interesting because of just, you know, what's coming down the pike. So I think every year is just going to be more chaotic than the last. But we'll see.
Well,
it's all good for gold.
Society as a whole. Okay, it's good for gold. Then I'll shut up and let you know. But society itself is becoming more unsettled and more insane in a lot of different ways. You know that already. You deal with people also. So, you know, and thank goodness we have a lot of good people we talk to with our programs. But the general public, it's hard to say. But anyway, go ahead.
We do. We have some wonderful people. And they've certainly have tolerated us over the past 4 years when we've tried to bring certain things that we thought were a little different than what so many believed and so forth. So, you know, I do appreciate their support, their continued support. And, you know, it just goes to show, you know, how we are supposed to behave. You know,
right.
We are supposed to stand strong, but we're also still supposed to, there's a little bit of loyalty there, and that's something that this country doesn't have a lot of anymore.
Well, you know, a little bit of common courtesy and common decency used to be the general rule. Even if you disagree with somebody strongly, you didn't do it in a fist fight to burn the house down.
Well, no. So, we do have the best listeners. I have the best clients, and I'm really blessed to be in this position that I'm in. And it's only by God's grace that I'm here. So, carry on now. Let's go and just see what gold has done today. We have gold up $860 in the New York spot price aftermarket at $1,871. Silver is up 8 pennies at $24.65. Platinum is up 7 at 1,031. Palladium, 2,356 holding. The USDX today was stronger, up 0.10 at 90.97. Crude oil was down 0.10 at 45.66. Paper markets today, you know, it doesn't even really... I mean, markets are just going to do whatever they're going to do. I don't think they're tied to anything. And we try to find some sort of a trend and something that's meaningful so that we can try to track and follow and see where we're headed. But in today's world, again, this is why I stick to the fundamentals and to the basics, because they do direct us in the direction that we need to go, where we're going. And everything else, there's so much sensationalism out there. There's so many opinions out there that... it just defies so much logic, and so it is. So these markets, Dow up 104, the world's falling apart. But hey, the Dow's up 104, 30,173. The Nasdaq up 62 at 12,582. The Nasdaq up 10 at 3,702. 10-year yield 0.91%. My prediction. I don't know. There's a lot of things happening. I mean, no one's talking about the, you know, government could be shutting down December 11th. That's, you know, a couple days away. Could be. You don't hear anybody talk about it. You don't read anything about it. Everybody's talking about vaccines and how it's going to jumpstart the global economy and, you know, all the wealth and so on and so on and so on. And I know a lot of people think, well, so what? So they shut down the government. What's the big deal?
It makes you think about that. You know, I mean, would you miss them?
But that's really not the point. It's really not. But Butch, that's not. It's it's just another sign of where we are today. I mean, the government's been shut down how many times in the past, how many years? It's no big deal. You know, we're getting used to what essential workers really are. You know? But, I mean, it's
Sometimes the thing, it's a lot to do just with the drama. It keeps people interested and looking in certain directions. It's drama. It's set up to somewhat, I think, for entertainment even over a period of time. People want to have something to talk about, so they, we're going to have a government shutdown, or something else has fallen apart. So there's always something going on to keep the people kind of up in an uproar and sitting on the edge of the seats. The times for things run normally, I think, are past forever, because nothing ever goes smoothly any longer.
Well, I don't think, I think the news media does that to the government shutdown, but to me, it's a sign, it's a signal, it just shows how where we are as a nation. It describes everything.
Well, it sounds like the chaos in a banana republic, doesn't it? You know,
it shows it exactly where we're at.
It does. I mean, the turmoil in the government, turmoil in the people, overthrows of government, supposedly, there's just been a coup, and it goes on and on and on. It reminds you of what we used to call banana republics, and that there's always turmoil going on, and always things happening that cause this nation to disintegrate. So these are things that I see happening. And I've been around a few years enough to know that there is some things going on that are not what they ought to be. We are in a deep, deep hole, and I don't see how we're going to get out of it. And financially, any other way, it just isn't going to happen that I can see.
No. No, it isn't. So, I mean, this is the norm now. Believe it or not, this is the norm. Whether they have vaccines out or not, this is the norm.
I agree.
And it's not a very happy place to be, but as a norm for this country. So, anyway, it's, I don't know, it's crazy.
Well, it's unsettling because no one seems to know what they're doing, but I truly believe behind the scenes, there are people that are directing all these things that do know what they're doing. That you're bringing in all these issues and causing division and turmoil and frustration in people for a purpose. And I do believe that purpose is to bring the America to its knees economically and to instill more socialistic, communistic goals that they've been trying to for years. Because the frightened people, Melody, want to eat, want to be fed. They'll follow rules so they can get your money. I mean, whether you call it communism or socialism, whatever you call it, they're going to do it because they're scared. And that's part of the plan. And it's working very well so far. It's not just here, it's worldwide. Although, thank God, there's some people all over the world are starting to get their eyes open to what's going on with this COVID hyped up farce. And they're starting to speak up and say enough is enough. And we're going to discuss that in a minute with some businesses here in this country. They're fed up with it. They're tired of it. But fear is a great motivator. And people will follow the rules, no matter how absurd it may have seemed last year or 10 years ago. Because they won't be able to pay the bills, pay the power bill, and feed the children. That's also part of the plan. People that are afraid or will just do what they're told to do so they can keep the food on the table. That's happened before in history, and we're not immune to it.
What's next?
Okay, well, I thought you were next. Okay. I figured you'll jump up and run with that. I didn't know.
Gee. No, I mean, it's you know, we say that, you know, we say this every day. And, you know, sometimes when I read these headlines, I mean, they just get, I mean, people are just losing control. They really are. People are just losing control. I'm just reading this headline now that kind of took me in Florida. People were kidnapped, tortured, and executed, two truckers in Opa-locka. I'm not even sure where Opa-locka is in Florida. This happened over the weekend. These guys were kidnapped, tied up, tortured, and fatally shot two truck drivers, execution style. I mean, what is wrong with people? Now,
what was the reason?
I mean, it could be drugs, it could be, you know, whatever. I don't know.
There
was a third man.
What were they hauling? What were they hauling? Did they say what they were carrying?
It just says that one of them is the owner of this delivery service, and it doesn't really say a whole lot. But I mean, the point is it's a moving type truck.
I thought maybe if they were hauling something of value, maybe even food, who or toilet paper, for goodness sake. Who knows? Maybe they're starting to hijack trucks like they used to do stagecoats. I don't know. Well, I'm just curious about that.
They probably... It doesn't mean that they should have done this, but the police had arrested one of them in 2007 and said he was one of the three men found unloading cargo off a stolen tractor trailer that had been located using a GPS device, but charges were dropped. The other guy was arrested last year. He had two loads of pilfered cargo, frozen shrimp, and air conditioning units. But still. But it's going on everywhere. It's going in all the main cities, and it's a lot of unrest.
Well, we're seeing society unravel. That's what boils down
absolutely
to. Mm-hmm. We see unravel. I mean, when the morals are destroyed and decayed, and society isn't along to follow. I mean, whenever you have no moral boundaries, the people used to accept as being normal, no matter what they may have been. Once they're broken, it just gets worse and worse until someone. I mean, and we don't have enough law enforcement in a mm-hmm. country that can enforce morals on a people that are totally immoral and mass any longer. I mean, it's impossible for a free society to remain free and become immoral at the same time. Yeah. That's what we're seeing right here. And we don't have the forces. No country does. If people want to be immoral, you got millions of people to work with. You cannot enforce it all the time. You can catch them. You can punish them. You can even kill them. But as long as the morals are still falling apart as time goes on, it gets worse and worse. So we're seeing America unravel, and I don't like to say that. It breaks my heart to say that, but it's not the country I know when I was growing up. It's not the same country even near what it used to be. And folks, I'm speaking from experience and from life experiences. I've seen it. I recognize it. It breaks my heart, like I said, but the morals have been undermined, and the nation is crumbling in every way, from the politicians, we'll say, our so-called leaders, right on down to the common individual. Thank God there's still many out there. I would say that the majority of people are still moral people. But it doesn't take a whole lot of bad apples to spoil the whole barrel, you know what the old saying used to go. So we're seeing this happen. And the people that are always were level-headed and moral people, after a while, they even become frustrated themselves and angry because they watch their homes being destroyed, their business being destroyed. This is where we are in America, folks. And if it's happening on purpose, which I think it is, it's going to get worse. If it's not happening on purpose, then the only answer is to return to base of morality and godliness, but I don't see that happen. But anyway, go ahead, Melody.
Well, you know, earlier I talked about the spending bill, and I guess Congress is supposed to vote this week. Of course, they have to by the 11th. They're looking to on a one-week stopgap funding bill to provide more time for lawmakers to reach a deal on COVID-19 relief. How much more time do they need?
I agree.
You know, my gosh, they've been doing this for how long? I mean, you just want to smack them. It's just like, are you kidding me? But anyway, yeah, so they need more time. So they need to enact a government spending measure by Friday, and funding for federal agencies is set to require. Pelosi and McConnell hope to attach the long-awaited COVID-19 relief to a broad $1.4 trillion spending bill known as an omnibus. Both sides are under mounting pressure to keep the government open, deliver a fresh infusion of coronavirus aid to families and businesses, and a group of emergency aid programs implemented in response to the pandemic, including additional unemployment benefits, a moratorium on renter evictions. Of course, we all know, we've talked about it, and that's all set to expire at the end of December. So, you know, they have to do something. They're going to have to do something quick. So So who knows what gets passed at the last minute and the handshakes they do, but they'll do something before the 11th so they can all go home and enjoy their holiday. They truly are shameless. They really are. They're disgusting.
Obviously, that's true. It's been away for years. Very few of them have any moral conscience left at all. That's just the way it is. I don't care which side, Republican, Democrat, they're basically the same. Basically the same. They're in it to preserve their offices, preserve their jobs, I guess you could say, and all the little benefits go along with that job. They've done it for longer than you and I've been alive. They've been doing this. Politicians make a living being a politician. This is a whole different topic, but that's why I see term limits on all offices. They shouldn't allow to be a senator or a congressman for 20, 30, 40 years.
No.
Should be a limit to it. Two maximum. Two maximum.
Well, you know, we've talked about this before. They were stalled on provisions to help state and local governments. The Democrats want that and protect businesses from coronavirus-related lawsuits. That's a top Republican priority. Mitt Romney, who was involved in the negotiations, said lawmakers could drop both protections in state and local aid to get a deal done. You know, I don't know. It's just it's so frustrating to see. And regardless of, you still are having people hurt. They're losing their livelihoods. They're losing their, and Lord knows what's going to happen to this nation when the housing market has to be addressed. It really is just incredible numbers, and I can't see how it's going to be done.
Well, I haven't seen the recent numbers how many people right now that are losing their home because they can't pay for them. Not just renters, I'm talking about people that are buying homes. I haven't seen the numbers lately on how many people are behind on the mortgages and maybe losing their homes. I'm going to look that up sometime because it's interesting. Again, we all need a place to sleep, and we put our ideas in our lives and the idea of making a home for our families. And if for whatever the reason we can't pay for it, that's got to be devastating to everybody that's involved. Especially if you have children. They're looking to daddy and mommy to make sure they have a place to sleep and something to eat. Melody, that would be a heartbreaking situation, would it not?
Yeah. Well, we talked about this where mortgage delinquencies have jumped to the highest rate in 20 years. And, you know, that was back in October, so we'll be getting more updates on that. So,
it's about time, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know.
Well, it is. It is what it is. I don't see 2021 getting better. Matter of fact, my opinion is probably going to get worse in a lot of ways. I hate to say that. Well, I hate to say that. But I really, back in 2019, I kept talking about 2020 is going to be a very tumultuous year. I didn't even know why yet, but I knew it was coming. Oh, it's break time.
It is. We'll be right back. You're listening to Financial Survival.
We will find you acting on your best behavior. Turn your back on Mother Nature. Everybody wants to rule the world.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSC Talk TalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. What's next, Butch?
Well, I want to share a couple articles here about the restaurant businesses that are really, oh my, they're getting hammered. Restaurant closings top 110,000 with industry in free fall. More than 110,000 restaurants have closed permanently. Now, let me repeat that. Have closed permanently, Melody, or long term across a country as the industry grapples with the devastating impact of the COVID-19 pandemic, and more pain is ahead with a potential shutdown of indoor dining in New York City just as temperatures drop. A sign says in front of this restaurant, "Closed Forever," is displayed on Lewis's restaurant, an 83-year-old diner that recently closed permanently in San Francisco on Wednesday, August 5th. That's when it was they closed it down for good. Closed forever. And that, after 83 years, closed forever. The nationwide tally, representing the one in six U.S. eateries, is among the findings of a survey released Monday by a National Restaurant Association. The figure was up from 100,000 shutdowns in September survey. The Washington-based trade group shared the latest results with congressional leaders in an attempt to secure financial support for a sector rocked by rising costs and falling sales. The restaurant industry simply cannot wait for relief any longer, said Sean Kennedy, executive vice president of public affairs at the association, said in a letter to Congress. What these findings make clear is that more than 500,000 restaurants of every business type, franchise, chain, and independent, or an economic free fall. Over 500,000, half a million, are in economic free fall. Melody, divide that up per state, that's 10,000 per state, right? Mm-hmm. That's a lot of eateries shutting down, is it not?
It is. And those are the ones that we know about.
Yeah, those we know about. And some restaurants, this is in California, are defying California lockdown rules. We have to make a living. Dina Ferrero texted friends from a concrete bench next to the Huntington Beach Pier on Monday as he tried to sort out his worries. He has mounting bills, more than $100,000 from back rent owed to his two restaurants, opponents Italian Cucina and Black Trumpet Bistro, both a quick drive from the water. He spent thousands of dollars deep cleaning and disinfecting both businesses three times each the past months, he said, along with complying with every required demand. He's $100,000 in debt just for rent. You know, again, you pour your life into something, you'd like to see it prosper a little bit, and something pass on to your children. You know, having three sons, I like to leave them something. But I'm not by any means a wealthy man financially. I'm very wealthy with blessings from my Father in heaven, but I'm not wealthy financially. But I like to leave my son something. A piece of land, you know, something they can sell if they want to, or something. Even a few pieces of gold and silver, I want to leave them for their children and for their sakes. I want to do that. But can you imagine working your life running restaurants and prospering for so many years, and all of a sudden the rug pulled off from under you, and you're about ready to lose them all? And thank goodness, in some places, it says 400 restaurants band together to fight governor's lockdown rules. And I like this. We're standing united. Hundreds of restaurants band together to push back against Democratic Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer's recent coronavirus mandates, Fox Business reported Monday. Joe Vaccari, president of the Joe Vaccari Restaurant Group, in a Monday appearance said his total of 400 eateries in the state have joined the push against Whitmer's lockdowns. Michigan is nearing the end of a three-week pause and shuttered indoor dining and bar service, but the governor has indicated a willingness to re-extend the restrictions that end on Tuesday, according to Bridge Michigan. I called my restaurant groups in southeastern Michigan to band together, Vaccari told Fox's Stuart Varney. We had about 400 restaurants come together. We're standing united. We want to get to a solution with the governors to reopen restaurants. The group, which has been conducting meetings through Skype, initially tried to outright resist the lockdowns by keeping the doors open, but authorities quickly threatened to close them down, Rosalie Vaccari, a co-owner of the restaurant group, said. We learned very quickly it's hard to fight City Hall, she said. When you work in an industry that is controlled by licenses, a food license, a liquor license, and the state holds, you don't have a lot to say. And I'll make this comment. A license, according to the Black's Law Dictionary, is permission to do something which would otherwise be illegal. Why is it illegal to run an eatery? Why do you need a license to run an eatery? I can understand that you might have certificates to prove that the place is clean, but why would you need a license to make a living? Why do you need a license to get married? Why do you need a license to travel? Certification is one thing. License is control, folks. When they control your license, they control your life. That's what it boils down to. So finally, this restaurant realized license is control. They take your license. You can't go back in business. And whether you like it or not, that's what it is. And licensing is all about control. So we're seeing the chickens come to roost now. With all the things over a lot of years we put up with, licensing and all different things. We put up with it. Now they're using them against us. Just like some of the churches, the 501c3 churches, they're starting to call those in now. The 501c3 church is not a church, it's a corporation. And they're starting to use that to show them that they're not independent. They are run by the government. And that's sad. But there's some restaurants now, they're starting to team up together and say enough is enough. Any comments on that?
Well, no, I mean, you talk about control, and, you know, we've talked about it on this program again, and sometimes it just seems we just keep repeating ourselves, but, I mean, it's always changing as we do talk about it. You know, there's a headline out today, you talk about control, companies are going to be able to fire you if you don't get the vaccine.
That's coming.
Companies are considering compulsory COVID vaccination requirements as a condition of employment. Under the law, an employer can force an employee to get vaccinated, and if they don't, fire them. Anti-discrimination laws would enable eligible employees to request an exemption from a company-wide coronavirus vaccine mandate. And country's first vaccine is to be authorized for emergency use as soon as Thursday. Pfizer and BioNTech get the green light. Distribution is set to begin within days. But as difficult as the research, development, and distribution stages have been, some experts argue the hardest part of finding the virus is actually what comes next. Convincing people to take it. Roughly 4 in 10 Americans say they would definitely or probably not get the vaccine. Now, this was a current survey by the Pew Research. While this is higher than it was 2 months ago, to achieve herd immunity, experts say that about 70% of the population needs to be vaccinated or have natural antibodies. So employers may not be taking no for an answer. And a couple of corporate clients, with this one guy, a Dallas labor and employment attorney, said they are leaning towards making the COVID vaccine mandatory. His clients range...
Go ahead.
His clients range from companies in manufacturing to food to beverage, food and beverage, industries that have been battered for months. Vaccine promises employers a return to some form of normal. And one of Dunn's clients in the restaurant sector thinks a compulsory inoculation requirement would be a game changer for the business. They think it gives them a competitive edge. They'll be able to run advertisements. Hey, our employees have been vaccinated. You know, we're better. We're safe.
Well, you call them a herd. All my cows are vaccinated. They're safe. All my herd's safe now.
Yep.
That's the same mentality. If the people go on strike and say, we're not going to take it, you won't run a business with us because we're not going to be here, that would change your attitude a little bit. And then people get together and say, we're not going to go to work. We'll just shut the place down. Then you suffer a while. That would change it. And if they don't do it, that's their own fault. This herd mentality. I don't like being called part of a herd.
Nope.
I'm not a cow. I'm not a sheep. Yeah, I'm not, and I don't like being treated that way. And it always bothered me that businesses would make somebody take a urine test, a random urine test. Now, that is contrary to the idea that you're innocent until proven guilty. It's like going through an airport. You got to prove you're not a terrorist to get on the plane. You're assumed guilty. That is contrary to everything this nation was founded on. That is the makings of a state. You have to prove
you're
innocent.
Because they make it impossible for employers to fire anybody. I mean, what you know? That's also. I mean, it's
government's interfering.
All these
rules and
all these rules and regulations are always created against the worker to protect them.
That's part of socialism. That's all it boils down to. The workers' republic. That's what it boils down to. But again, the attitude of being called a herd. I never had like that. You know, the herd mentality or the herd. Immunity. No, for goodness sake, no. People are not cattle. They act like it now. They act like they're owned, and they're actually being easily driven in the way they want to put them. But we're not cattle. That insults me. It does. Like taking a urine test to keep a job. That insults me. If I come in high one day, then assume I'm on drugs and make me take a test. But if I'm not, if I come in to work every day normal, don't tell me I got to take a test.
There are a few notable exceptions to the blanket requirement. If a workforce is unionized, the collective bargaining agreement may require negotiating with the union before mandating a vaccine. Anti-discrimination laws also provide some protections. Under the Americans with Disabilities Act, workers who don't want to be vaccinated for medical reasons are eligible to request an exemption. In this case, an employer would have to provide reasonable accommodations, such as allowing the employee to work remotely. Under Title VII of the Civil Rights Act of 1964, if taking the vaccine is a violation of a sincerely held religious belief, they too would potentially be able to opt out. But, it's just how soon is this all going to happen? Well, you know, when the FDA meets this week, they'll have to decide whether to grant an emergency use authorization to Pfizer and BioNTech. It's just also amazing, Butch. I mean, here they are, the Monday after the election or couple days after the election. They were just finishing their trials. They were just finishing the trials.
Yeah, that's right.
And now all of a sudden, and they still don't even have approval. And, you know, when the FDA meets this week, they're going to have to decide whether to grant an emergency use authorization or an EUA to Pfizer and BioNTech. It may seem like semantics, but an EUA is not the same thing as a full approval. But yet they already have billions of doses already being shipped.
That's true.
It's like, how does that happen? We can't even get toilet paper made.
That is very true. Good point. But, you know, and Bill Gates said this. I saw it with my own eyes. Now, this is what really concerns me. For the first time in history, they want 7 billion people, the whole world population, vaccinated. 7 billion people. Yes, they do. And that to me really ekes of something akin to the Mark of the Beast idea. Everyone must be vaccinated. 7 billion doses. And here in West Virginia, we get our first doses in with the National Guard on the 15th this month.
And the real reason that the Republicans are trying to get this passed through to that businesses aren't held responsible for people who come down with it, because you know, if a company is not liable, if an employer does choose to mandate the vaccine, a company is not liable should an employee develop side effects. Well, they should be liable if they're forcing these vaccines on the people.
Well, the government itself is not reliable. Under Reagan's administration, they made pass a rule or law that you can't sue the manufacturers, the vaccine manufacturers. You can't sue them. I mean, they you have to go through so many courts and spend so much money yourself trying to tell them to get your damages covered. It's almost impossible. Why do you think they did that? Because they know there's going to be side effects. They know there's going to be side effects.
Yeah. So instead, they would be routed through the workers' comp program and treated as an on-the-job injury.
Well, even the FDA says that with the second shot, especially, is going to be side effects. The FDA said that, not me. So these are things that people need to consider before they jump on the bandwagon. Oh, give me the vaccination, we'll have the herd immunity. No, folks, that isn't the way it works. And for the whole world been treated like a herd. From Ethiopia to the United States, all over the world, we're just now a herd.
And what do you think these employees are going to do? What kind of carrots do you think these employers are going to start offering? You know, one option is that you don't have to take your temperature every day, or you don't have to wear the same level of PPE. There's also talk of Dave and I were going to talk about a $1,500 bonus people were going to get, government suggested to pay people to take the vaccine, so employers could do the same, some sort of a cash bonus. And what kind of division do you think this is going to create in the workplace?
Of course.
And in everywhere else. What's your family going to do? How are they going to accept you into their homes, knowing that we didn't take the vaccine?
A lot of them aren't already. It's already divided families. Yeah. I know personally divided families. Personally, I know people that's divided. They didn't get together for their Thanksgiving because some of the family members wouldn't get tested, and they just decided not to get together. That's divided families.
So, anybody who can deny that this isn't some sort of a, you know, we're mandatory. And you know what? And again, no disrespect to those who, here we have President Trump. He's the one that first said to get the DO, Department of Justice, involved.
Mm-hmm, DOD.
In distributing these vaccines. He's the one that's pushing for these vaccines.
Warp speed.
And he's got you all distracted from the election. I don't know, Butch.
Well, if this were just here in this country, I'd be bothered enough. But this is a worldwide push. That's what concerned me in prophecy. And I'm not making this up. I'm concerned. That this is a prophetic move. Obviously, this is not something that surprised our God, obviously, but it should be alarming to us, that this is a worldwide push to vaccinate everyone on planet Earth. There's more to it than the COVID, which I have proof of here from lawyers even in Germany. It says it's no worse than a common flu. There's a reason behind this somewhere, folks. Please know that.
Hey, I hear the music. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Which I know some, and they're wonderful people. So go figure. We'll be right back, Cole. We are back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. See, I hear music, and it's like, okay, you're leaving. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and I'm here with Butch Paul. What's next?
Well, I just think, Melody, if you hear music and you start hearing voices, let me know.
You'll be the first. I'll have George tell you.
That'd be good. Okay.
Hey, you know, here's a headline. I'm not going to get into it. Millions of Americans are heading into the holidays unemployed and over 5,000 behind on rent. Just goes on with what we've been saying. And
Merry Christmas.
Yeah.
Nearly two-thirds of Americans living paycheck to paycheck during pandemic. And I don't know about everybody, but I spent a lot of years living paycheck to paycheck. I did. I worked sometimes three jobs, four jobs. I didn't mind working. I just wasn't overly intelligent. But, I mean, we made it. But money is not something anyone wants to worry about during the holidays. In a year still ravaged by the coronavirus pandemic and this economic fallout, however, it appears many will be struggling through the most festive part of 2020. A survey finds that over 60% of Americans say that they're now living paycheck to paycheck as the year draws to a close. The poll of over 2,000 Americans commissioned by Highland Solutions wanted to see how spending habits and personal finance in the U.S. are holding up during the pandemic. The results find 63% of the respondents have cut back on their spending due to COVID. 6 in 10 say they're doing it to be more cautious, but 49% add this, it's because of losing income at work. And some people who are losing overtime, of course, some people just lost their jobs. But they cut back on things that we've all taken granted, Billy, that we're going to go out and eat dinner. You know, so about 55% say they're buying less clothing, and 50% are not traveling. 61% said quit going to movies. 64% said they're not eating out as much. Those are things that we can live without, no doubt about it. But as you just mentioned, people that are behind on the rent, and eventually this forbidding the tenants or the landlords to kick them out is going to come to an end. But if you're going into these holidays and end of the year, and you know you have a very good potential of losing your home the first of the year, that's going to be a downer. And that's why there's so many people now I found are actually, it's causing people to actually to binge drink. I got the article here if I can find it. They said that they're binge drinking. It's causing divorces. It's causing, you know, all kinds of stress in the home, and I can understand it would. Especially people that haven't got a foundation, and I'm being a pastor, say it, that Christ in a home that look on, but said mental health plummets in a 20-year low because of these things. It's coming to a point that it's costing more than just, we'll say, COVID deaths. It's costing people's homes or their marriages or relationships. It's dividing families. So somebody got to say enough is enough. They got to say we're no longer going to tolerate this because this is falling. This is destroying our homes. And it isn't nice. This is something pleasant to think about, especially this time of year when everybody wants to be with their families. It just isn't. A different topic. Anybody saw this? Texas, state of Texas, is suing Georgia, Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin at U.S. Supreme Court over election. So, They're bringing the state of Pennsylvania has replied to Texas lawsuit arguing that it doesn't actually address Act 77, a 2019 statute which allows voters to cast mail-in ballots for any reason. Now, I don't understand all the ins and outs of this. We have Texas suing 4 states. It's just interesting. I've never seen this happen before over an election. States sue other states. This is another move in the direction of chaos in my mind. You have any comments on that?
No, there was just, I think, a headline that came out. The Supreme Court rejects Trump's allies' push to overturn Biden win in Pennsylvania. So there was actually no other news than that. It's just a headline. Please check back for updates. And that was coming out of CNBC. So, you know, it's... that's just breaking news at 4:45, so no info there yet. So, you know, it's... Nope, there's nothing there. So, I don't know, Butch. It's just something we're going to have to wait and see. I don't think there's a... I don't think all the lawsuits in the world is going to change anything.
It's just another another sign of insanity among the people, among the nations, to say the people.
I did have to laugh, though. I wanted to type something so bad. I saw a liberal comment saying, you know, so you lost, get over it. And I'm thinking to myself, that's coming from Democrats who for 4 years whined and did everything possible because they were such sore losers? It just baffles me where these minds are.
It's unbelievable. Unbelievable.
It is.
I mean, they did some very vulgar things in public about Trump being off. I'm talking about some women especially. I mean, really
absolutely.
Unbelievable things.
I mean, so hearing people out there, oh, my daughter cried when Trump was elected and Hillary wasn't. Are you kidding me?
Standing in the streets and screaming.
I mean, I'm sorry, but if your daughter cried when Hillary wasn't elected, I think you have other problems.
I think you're right. But back to economics. Now, this I hadn't really thought about, too, but the cost of child care was already astronomical. In the pandemic, it's terrifying. Families are straining their budget to pay for school and daycare instead of substitutes, and there's no end in sight. And I hadn't really thought about this, but once a month after kids are in bed, Marie Yeager and her husband convene at the dining room table. She opens her computer and pulls up the spreadsheet where she tracks the family budget. There's one column that's caused far more stress this year than any other, child care. Yeager and her husband have three kids, ages 3, 6, and 7, and child care has always been expensive. But with schools and many daycare centers closed during the pandemic, the cost has skyrocketed. Now listen to this. They were spending $1,850 per month before the coronavirus hit. Now it's went up to $5,300 a month in December for child care. From $1,850, which is very expensive, to $5,300, which is unbelievable. She used to pay nothing for her two oldest children, both enrolled in public school where she lives in Washington, D.C. Now they're part of a learning pod led by a woman who used to work in the school cafeteria. They had to dip into their savings to cover the cost, but what else can they do? I feel actively stressed when we write the check every month, said Yeager, who works at an education nonprofit. Like many other parents, she has considered scaling back at her job or taking a year off. I don't feel like there's a good alternative. You know, I hadn't done about child care, but you know, people who do work, end up at schools where a place to leave the child. They're supposed to get an education, and where they were at work. Well, that ended. So, I can see where it could get expensive. Any comments on that?
No, I can't imagine how these families pay for child care, and it's just amazing. I mean, when you think about child care is usually more than your mortgage payment.
Oh, way more. Yeah.
Yeah.
In some cases, yes.
I mean, it's terrible.
Well, to be able to go back to the time when the economy was put together so well yet, and we had real money that husbands could work and provide for the family, the mommy could stay home and make a home for the family. This would be great back those days again, where one income was enough to feed the family. But because of fiat currency and inflation and other things happening, that's no longer possible. It's almost impossible in most cases for one parent to make a living for the whole family. I won't say it's always impossible, Melody, but you're going to do without a lot of things that you may like to have. And again, you have to weigh it in the balance, which is more important, things or family. And those are things people need to consider, and that's your own decision. But 82% of Americans say they couldn't afford a $500 emergency thanks to COVID-19. Several months ago, last year, I guess it was, we discussed the fact that Americans couldn't come up with $1,000. They couldn't, if an emergency, they couldn't come up with $1,000. Now it's down to $500. A recent survey of 2,000 Americans carried out by innovation consultancy Highland took a close look at how personal finances and spending habits have changed since the start of the COVID-19 pandemic, which crushed U.S. economy and has triggered a protracted downturn around the world. With the U.S. labor market adding just 245,000 new jobs last month, a sign that the sharp rebound from the chaos of March has already run its course, and millions of Americans waiting on more stimulus from Washington, the share of people living check to check has expanded rapidly. Even before the pandemic, a staggering percentage of Americans didn't have enough money, enough cash on hand, for an unexpected debt hardship of $400. But that's even more. That's even worse for American consumption-driven economy, in that a solid majority of Americans have reduced spending, some dramatically, as the pandemic has made socialization difficult. According to the survey, 63% have to cut back on spending since the start of the pandemic. Yeah, no doubt. So, if they couldn't come up with the $500 of money to pay for an emergency, that is getting pretty close to the edge, in my opinion. And I've seen time myself, Melody, that I couldn't come up with $500. You probably have too in your lifetime.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So, what we're talking about here, folks, I've experienced. Melody's experienced. So this is COVID is the blame for a lot of this, no doubt about it. But this isn't the first time Americans couldn't come up with $500 cash. I couldn't many times. I struggled just making a house payment. I'm not bragging or complaining. It's just the way it was. And it's just life. I really feel for these folks, especially those who lost their jobs and businesses because of COVID. But it's not the first time we went through hard times. And here's something
to
think
about.
Go ahead.
The difference this time, what I see, is previous times, there's always something that you could do.
Yes, exactly.
There's always some place you could go. There's always, if you had to work two jobs,
another job.
Always had options.
Yeah.
There were always options. There are no options this time.
I totally agree.
Because everything is shut down. And even though things are open and, you know, some people are hiring and everything, it isn't the same. It is a lot more difficult for those folks. And, you know, and yeah, I mean, we talked about the millions of Americans that are unemployed and are $5,000 behind on rent.
You know, when you think about it, when you look in the reality of things, $500 or $5,000, I mean, in paper money day, is not much. But if you don't have it, it's a lot. If you don't have it, it is a lot. But New York, go ahead.
I didn't say anything.
Oh, I was going to say, okay. New York City, you would think after a while these people catch on, but they're not. Financial titan Goldman Sachs considers move from blue New York to red Florida. New York just isn't learning. Fresh off a fall season that saw billion-dollar firms picking up stakes in Manhattan for their warmer, business-friendly climate in South Florida, New York City's leftist mayor, Bill de Blasio, is now facing news that the heavyweight Goldman Sachs Group is considering a major move south as well. According to a report published Sunday by the financial news outlet Bloomberg, Goldman Sachs executives are scouting the location of Florida's Palm Beach and Broward counties as potential homes for the company's asset management team, which accounts for about $8 billion of the firm's revenue annually. So New York's going to lose another huge base for taxes with Goldman Sachs. They can't seem to figure it out. The liberals and communists in this country can't seem to figure this out. We're losing tax revenue, so what are we going to do? Well, that's simple. Raise taxes on other people. So they'll leave too. They're going to turn into a ghost town, Melody, but they never figured out that you cannot tax people but to a certain point, then they have to go somewhere else. Do you think they could figure it out after a while, wouldn't you?
You would think. But you know what? Sometimes they just, and again, I know a lot of Democrats, but it's just like these leaders, these politicians, it's like they're right and no one else. I don't know what it is. It's like, what's wrong with them? Can't they see what's happening? And it just doesn't seem to matter.
No, it doesn't.
And my question is, who in the heck votes for these people? Who are the people that vote for them?
I agree. I totally agree. I
the
totally agree.
The Republicans are no different. We keep electing same ones over and over.
No, they're not.
So if anybody has anybody to complain about, it's who we elect.
I totally agree. If the people allow, it's people's fault. But another quick topic, you're running out of time. Goya, you know, it's a food-based company, named AOC, that's a Cortez, Employee of the Month after boycott resulted in soaring sales. She tried to boycott the company, and the business went through the roof. It was like an Obama was named Salesman of the Month for gun manufacturer back when he's in office. So these maybe some things are backfiring on these people once in a while, which is a good thing. We're seeing people maybe starting to realize we can't tolerate this any longer. I mean, colleges are going down quickly. The University of California bled out $2.2 billion, lost revenue this year because of the pandemic. $2.2 billion suffering. People, this has got to be enough. We got to say enough is enough and then do something about it. Are we going to be a herd mentality right into destruction? Are we going to follow the rest of the lemmings over the cliff?
Many will. We're out of time. Thank you for joining us. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cederstrom. We'll be back tomorrow. Until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.
Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me.